shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. Now I'm going to skip down. There are four verses here that I think are good verses, but for the sake of reading this morning, I'm going to skip down to the fifth verse. This is where our actual lesson text is going to come from. The 24th chapter of Leviticus, verse 5, it says, "And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. Two tenth deals shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in two rows, six on a row upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire by perpetual statute." We're going to stop our reading right there for just a moment. And I guess if I were going to take a lesson text this morning, I would take the fifth through the ninth verses. And again, I'm not going to read all that again. We just read through it. But the title of our message this morning is Remembering What God Has Done. Remembering What God Has Done. Now, I want to first off say this, because you all know how I am about always looking back. I don't think that people of God should continually always look back. It's not good for us to always look back and see some of the things that have happened in our lives. I have often thought about what it means to look back, and it means taking your eyes off of what's in front of you to turn around and look back. If I'm going to look back this way, I can't look at you all. I can't see what's in front of me. No longer am I picturing what's out ahead of me. I'm turned around thinking and wondering about what has happened and what's behind me. I know behind me today is that baptistry. I don't really wonder about that, because I've seen it enough to know that it's back there. I'm talking about not a physical sense. I'm talking about in a sense of looking back in your life, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, things that have happened to us in several different ways. I want to first of all kind of mention and kind of talk about what happened in these verses of Scripture, because I think they're going to paint a picture for us this morning of remembering what God has done. Now, we've got to remember, as I read for you, they were having the Feast of Tabernacles there. Now, one of the things that they had that's a little different than we are today is they had a tabernacle. We don't really call this a tabernacle. This is our church building. But they had a tent that was erected there that they would go into, and they would offer sacrifices to the Lord. There was a place there, and it was called the Holy Place. That was a place that the priest went into, and they would go in, and there was the altar of the incense, and there was the golden candlestick that was there. There was also the table of the showbread, which is where our reading is coming from this morning. And it was in the holy place, and between that room, and it was fashioned off much like a square or a rectangle, and there was a partition between that. So I want you to imagine today that you all are in the holy place. You all are in this area where, if I were to kind of put a picture on where everything stood, I might say that the table of the showbread might be about here. If I were going to look and see where the altar of incense was, it would be about here. And just in my mind, based off of some of the dimensions and the scriptures that I've read, the golden candlestick stood to the side. But I want you to remember that everything in that holy place had a purpose. Everything that was there, it was placed almost perfectly to the place that God had set for it to be. Now, we look at the holy place, and that is a wonderful, wonderful place. It was a place that sacrifices were made, prayers were made. But there's also another section to this tabernacle. There was a veil that was from the top of the tabernacle to the bottom. And if I were to picture the veil today, what about where this altar is, I would say there'd be this big curtain. That's the only way I know to put it. Some of you ladies know what a veil is. I guess I didn't always really know what that was until I started reading Scriptures and found out that it was just a large curtain that stood between two rooms. And this veil did that, and it was a beautiful, large veil. It was something that was made of fine ingredients there that made it just a beautiful curtain or a veil. And see, it stood between the holy place and the holiest of holies. Now, in the holiest of holies was a, I'm not going to call it a piece of furniture, it was much more than that, but it was where the Ark of the Covenant stood. And that Ark of the Covenant was a place, and on top of it was this thing called the mercy seat. And they would go in and they would make their sacrifices, and they would sprinkle the blood upon it, and they would do all of these things. And inside of the Ark of the Covenant were three idols. Now, there was significance to everything about this tabernacle. I've heard people preach sermons about the tabernacle, and that's not my sermon this morning about the tabernacle. We would be here until next Sunday trying to get established about the tabernacle. But I want you to realize the tabernacle had a great importance in the children of Israel's lives. It was a place that God would meet with them, and He would bless them. He would come down, His glory would shine around about this place. You see, I believe this morning that that tabernacle was made of the greatest things, or the greatest items that they could find to fashion things out of. When I read about the golden candlestick, it was made of pure gold. The altar of incense was made of gold, and this table where the showbread sat, it was made of this shittim wood, and it was beautiful wood. It was the best wood that I guess in that time period that they had. It was a sturdy, well-built table, and then it was fashioned in gold. A beautiful table. Now, what does all of that mean? All of it, if you want my honest opinion, points to Jesus Christ. All of it points to Jesus Christ. But there's something in there today that I really want to latch on to. Again, our title this morning is Remembering What God Has Done. Now, on that table was not just ordinary items. They were not just things that you would find in your household. It wasn't the place that I go into at night. I take the keys and the wallet out of my back pocket and I throw them on the table and they stay there all day. This was not a home. It was not a place that you went into to rest. It was a place of most reverential capacity for God. Like I said, everything in there had a perfect place. Now, we read in your hearing this morning about what was on the table, and I want to go back over that. So get your Bibles back up before you this morning. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 5. Let's talk about what was on the table. It was the offering of the showbread. And it says, "And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake." I want to make mention of those 12 cakes or those 12 loaves. Do you remember why we had to have 12? How many tribes of Israel were there? There were 12. So God made a cake or a loaf for each one of them. They each had their place. And so I want you to realize these cakes, they were made out of fine flour. And they were probably not the greatest things that you've ever had to eat. But I believe that they were there. And they were 12 of them because God had led 12 tribes of the children of Israel out of bondage of Egypt, out of Pharaoh's hand. What does He say to do with them? He says to put them in two rows, six on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. Now, if you've ever been around our house for a big meal, usually there's a lineup, and if you've ever been here for a meal, the ladies do a real good job of lining everything up on the table really well. So you can get to it really easily. Well, the Lord said to take two rows and line up six on each and place it upon the pure table of the Lord. And then He says to put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. I'm sure that someone may be asking the question, what in the world is this preacher preaching about loaves of bread for this morning? These were not ordinary loaves of bread, brothers and sisters. They had a purpose and a reason for being on that table. I have preached about here probably countless times about when Moses led the children of Israel out of Pharaoh's bondage. You all heard the story. You all know about it. How they were held in captivity and God had to send plagues upon plagues upon plagues, and they just continually got worse until Pharaoh said, "You know what? Just let them go. I'm tired of them doing everything to me, so just go. Just leave." And so Moses leads the children of Israel out. They took what they had with them. They didn't take all of their belongings. I'm sure they took what they had.
Now, these were people that were servant people where they came from. They were basically slaves to the Egyptians. And so they didn't leave with much. Well, if you all told me today I had to just take everything that's on me, and that's all I had. Well, at the moment, all I have on is my dress clothes. I don't even have my wallet, my keys. I don't have anything. And you said I had nothing else with me. And I had to do the best that I had with what I had. Well, that's kind of how the children of Israel were being faced with. They were taken out of their home country. They were left with basically nothing but the things that they had. And they were let out. Now they get over and you know about the Red Sea and how that the Lord prepared or provided there. Well, just like you and I would do, we might get a little hungry. You can tell by looking at me, I probably get hungrier a lot quicker than some of you all do. But they were hungry, and they began to kind of complain a little bit to Moses and Aaron. And they were complaining about not having enough to eat or enough to survive on. Well, I guess I would be just like them. I would be wondering, well, why are you not providing, or why are we not having enough? Don't you remember how good we had it back there? And they didn't have it that good. But they were looking back, and they were saying, well, you know, at least when we were there, we had something to eat. We had a place to sleep, clothes to wear. We had at least something to our name, but now we have nothing. And we've just been left out here with nothing to us at all. And you all are just leading us around. Well, first of all, the children of Israel were disobedient people. They were from the start. They were continually. And as descendants of that today, we still are disobedient people. What did the Lord do for them? If you were to look back about Exodus chapter 14, 15, and 16, you're going to read about a story about where the Lord provided these loaves of bread for them. Provided these quail for them every day. Every day they were given just enough to survive on for that day. And if they got any more than what they needed, it would ruin or it would spoil and they couldn't use it. Now on the sixth day, because on the seventh day or the Sabbath day, they weren't allowed to do work or to get anything for themselves. They had to get as much as they could for the next day on the sixth day. So they were allowed to do that on that day. But on the seventh day, they were not allowed to work. God didn't allow anything to come down from the heavens then. But they always had just enough. And I'm often wondering, in our own lives, how content we are with what we have. You see, if you look in that scripture, they were trying to get more than what they needed. They were trying to gather in a little bit more. And it didn't work for them. And so when I was reading these verses of scripture, if you know what the showbread is, it was a symbolic offering to the Lord saying, we're remembering what you have done for us. The showbread was an offering for the priests. They were to eat of it. Now, I want you to remember, in paganism, there were food sacrifices made to gods in lots of different ways. This was not that kind of sacrifice. This whole reason for the Feast of Tabernacles, this whole table with this showbread or these loaves of bread on them, they were not for just show, is what the name calls them. They were for a reason. And that reason is to remember that God had been with them. They were to show every time that they took of it. They were remembering that God had provided. Do we know in our own lives that God has provided? And the reason that I titled the sermon this morning, Remembering What God Has Done. Brother Colin has this always. I have no idea how he does it. But he always knows kind of about what I'm going to preach on Sunday. Every time we have a Sunday school lesson, he comes up with some scripture that I was going to use and then runs off with it before I can get to it. I'm thinking, well, I didn't call him this week and discuss it. But he was talking about praying according to God's will. You know, that's really hard. We don't understand it a lot of times. We pray and we say, God, why are you doing what you're doing to us? We don't understand it, but you're doing things that I don't like. We get upset with God. Do you know how many times the children of Israel got upset with God? Time and time again. But it was their fault that they had been in the shape that they were in. I want to make a sidebar just really quick. If you throw a psalm book at me, make a good shot. The reason we have a lot of trouble in our lives is not because God has done it. It's because we have done it to ourselves. You can agree or you can disagree. But a lot of the bad things that happen to us are because we have asked for them. True story. Don't believe it. I'm not going to tell you to try it and find out, but just see. It's the way it works. A lot of the reason that the children of Israel were in the shape that they were in is because they had asked for it. Well, again, we go and we pray to God and we say, why is this happening? We're starting the year out. I guarantee you, if I've done it, you've done it probably as much. We look back and we say, well, things didn't go quite like I thought they should have. God, you weren't very nice to me last year. You did some things to me I don't understand. Maybe I lost some things I didn't do very well. I lost my job, my house. I lost my car, my family. I don't know what you lost. The thing about it is when we look back and remember what God has done, we always look at the bad things. We always say, well, God, you were awful mean to me. This didn't work out like I thought it should. Remember what I quoted to you. If we pray in according to the Lord's will, it shall be done. Brother Coleman mentioned this in Sunday school. To be a mature Christian means that when we pray, we don't say, I want. We say, Lord, I understand this is what I want, but if it's your will. Then when things don't line up to the way we want them to, it's a whole lot easier to stomach when we pray, God, your will, but not mine. Even if it breaks my heart, even if it's not what I want, Lord, as long as you're happy, I'm happy. Well, when we remember what God has done, stop looking at all the negative things, and how about we start looking at some positive things? Instead of always saying, well, God, you did this to me, saying, God, you did this for me, and I'm so thankful for it. When I look at that table of showbread, and every time they ate of it, they were reminded of how good that God was. We look around us today, and we forget how good God is. God has been so good to each and every one of us. You say, preacher, I don't have much. Well, guess what? You're here, you're breathing, and you're alive. God has been good to you one more time. Even if you're lost and out in sin this morning, God has been good to you. He's allowed you one more opportunity to be saved. If you're here this morning and saved, and you can honestly stand up and say God has been bad to you, you better sit back down and try your salvation. If you've been saved, God's been better to you than you deserve. And it's time, brothers and sisters, that we look back with remembrance on that. And not just on Sundays. Not just when we take the Lord's Supper. Not just when things go good. But every day. They did this continually. They ate of that bread. And they were reminded of a time when things weren't going very well. They were reminded when they needed help. Brothers and sisters, you know who helps us? God does. But He doesn't just want to hear from us when we need help. He doesn't want to just hear from us when things are going bad. There are people that I can almost count on like clockwork. Have you ever heard from someone say, well, they're just not doing real well? And about that time, their number pops up on your phone, and they want something. And you think, dismiss, haven't heard from you in a long time. Not now. They only want you when things are going bad. Well, that's kind of how the children of Israel were a lot of times. God would speak to them, and I guess I harp on them more than I do anybody else. And the reason that I do is because I see so many similarities between them and us. And God has continually told them, do this and you'll be fine. We have heard time and time again, if we'll just do this, we'll be okay. And yet, what do? Turn the other direction and walk away. It's easy to walk away from God. But I just imagine, as Moses and Aaron, as they come in, time after time, and look down on that table of showbread, and they were reminded of how good God was. I want to go back to, actually we're going to go forward a little bit. You can turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. And you remember, Moses has died. He has left the children of Israel. He's given them over to somebody else that's going to be their leader. And I guess I've mentioned this a lot more in the last few weeks than I probably ever have. And I guess it's some of my favorite scriptures. When Moses tells the children of Israel, he says, you choose this day whom you're going to serve. And they say, well, we'll serve the Lord. He says, no, you won't. And they says, yes, we will. And Moses says, well, that's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. I want to sidebar again. Sometimes we have to have that attitude. Think about this. When everybody else says they're not going to, you've got to be the one that says, I will serve the Lord. Even if nobody else in your family, if you're the only one, continue to be the one. Because I want you to know something. As last Sunday I preached about being that light, you still have to be that light. Maybe you're the only one in your family that gives a flip about going to church or serving the Lord. I want you to know something. Don't lose sight of that. We'll look and we'll say, well, preacher, you're just not doing very much good. My family won't come with me. You keep going and you keep going forward. And you keep looking out. Why? Because when I look back and I remember the good things God has done for me, they far outweigh the bad things that God has done in my life. Look at Joshua. And I guess I'll turn over there if I can find it. Thought I had it marked. I guess I don't. Joshua chapter 3 and verse chapter 4. Joshua has the Ark of the Covenant with him, and it passes before Israel. And they're fixing to pass over the River Jordan. Now, the River Jordan at this time would have been out of the banks. It was around harvest time, is what the Bible says. It says about that time, the river's overflowed out of its banks. Have you ever seen a river with it's out of its banks? It's nearly impassable. But they get to the River Jordan, and these men that are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they take that step off. And you know that it dries up for them. It's out of the banks, brothers and sisters. And they step down into the water and it dries up and they cross over on this dry land, this strip of area that God has parted for them. And they take the Ark, and I want you to realize they were carrying something very important. You know what we carry today, brothers and sisters that have been saved? We carry something very important. They were carrying things that were types and shadows of Jesus Christ. We've been saved, so we carry Jesus Christ with us as well. It's just as important for us to carry what we have as what they were carrying. And they step over. And I guess they were just amazed. We have two places in the Bible, or at least two that right here at the front part of the Bible, where they have crossed over on dry land when there should have been no way that they did. But God has provided for them. And they get over, and the water has just come completely back as it was. And Joshua tells them, he says, you gather you up some stones. And they were supposed to be taken out of the River Jordan. You grab you some stones out of the river. And you set them up as a memorial. And you tell your generations in times past about what God did here. Well, I want all of us to remember that sometimes we drive up stakes in our lives and we talk about them all the time. But most of us have a lot of memorials in our lives where we have seen God's hand, both good and bad. The first stake mark I ever remember driving up is when the Lord let me know I was lost. And I knew that I was lost. The next time I drew one up was when He saved my soul. And since that day, God has been reminding me of how good He's been every single time that I needed Him. And that He was there even when I didn't want Him. Why was that significant? Because if you look over here along about chapter 4, verse 24, He says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Oh, how wonderful it is to be reminded that God is able, brothers and sisters. Did you know that this morning? That God is able. God is not dead. God is able. I was thinking about another instance, and I preached about her before. There was a lady and her son. She didn't have anything to eat. There was a famine in the land, and she knew that she had nothing. She had just a little bit. Just a little bit. And the prophet came by her house. He said, you give me of that little cruse of oil and just that little meal that you have. And she says, don't you know that I was about to take that, make a cake for me and my son, and then we were going to die? He says, you make me that cake. You just let me have that. And you know what she found continually as long as there was a drought there? She went back day after day and she found just enough there. Why? Because God provides for His children, brothers and sisters. Even when things look bleak and they look bad, and I want to make this statement,
In our country, things don't look that great. But I want you to know something. Our God is still able to take care of things.
Right. So let's look back and remember how good that He's been. I hear so much negativity. Are you not tired of the negativity? I am so tired of hearing about all the negative things. You said, preach, you can't stick your head in the sand and not worry about it. I know that. But it's time, brothers and sisters, that we stop filtering negativity in the world and we start filtering some positivity in the world. I told you last Sunday, instead of telling somebody how bad things are, why don't you start telling them how good things are? Instead of talking about the bad things in your life, start telling somebody about the times God has been good to you. Drive up those stake markers for that memorial. Why? Because that all the people of the earth, they might know that the hand of the Lord was with you. And that they might fear God too. Oh, how wonderful it is to look back. I love to look back on memories that I have of my family and friends. As I look back now, though, there are holes missing where I'm missing my loved ones. There are. When I remember those times when we lost those family and friends, and I know many of us have in this last year, I'm reminded of some times when I heard them talk about the Lord saving their soul. And we say, God, you were mean to us. Why did you take them? Why did they get sick? Why did they have this happen? Why did we lose this or that? Why did we lose our home? Why did we do this? Why did we do that? Why is this thing happening to us? The only thing that I know to say is a verse of Scripture again that Brother Coleman caught me with in Sunday school. All things work together for the good for them that love the Lord. Doesn't mean it's always good for you, but it means it gives Him honor and it gives Him glory. When I look at the table of showbread, some people might just look down and see some white loaves of bread there. That's not what it looked like. It might just look like bread to you. But for those men, as they took of it, it was a reminder daily that God was good. So the world, they may look at some things that have happened in my life and your life, and they might say, preacher, things have been rough. Things haven't been good. But then I just go back and I start looking. To the world, it may seem like nothing. To the world, it may not seem like anything at all. But it's my table of showbread to be reminded day after day that God is good. I told you and I said God is able. I'm reminded of when John was down at the River Jordan baptizing. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they came up and they were inquiring about why they couldn't be baptized too. And he says, you've got to give a testimony in order to be baptized. And they were kind of inquiring about, you know, well, look who we are, who, what we've done. And John just cut them off at the pass. And I like how he did it. He said, don't say it's because you're the children of Abraham. Because God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. I take those verses of Scripture and I often think he was really just being kind of snarky or sarcastic to them. But God was really able to take those stones right there and raise up children unto Abraham. If God was able to take a stone and raise it up unto children of Abraham, is He not able to do much, much more in my life? And I want you all to understand something. I didn't mean to go all Joel Osteen on you this morning. And if you want to put that on the internet, fine. I don't care. Let him know. He said, I'm going to be honest with you. Life is hard. And I don't care what he says. You can't smile and everything go away every day. But I will say this. If you will pray to God and you'll remind yourself daily that God is good even in the bad times, it'll make those bad times a lot easier. So you stop listening to Joel Osteen and thinking you just give money to the church, you just do this and do that and smile and everything goes away. No. Nowhere in the 66 books of this Bible do I read where life is going to be easy for you. I guarantee you, 2018 is going to be hard for people in this building today. It's probably going to be hard for a lot of us. But I am reminded that God goes with me every single day. I want to read something to you this morning like I was going to. I want everybody that has access to a Bible to get it this morning. Everybody that has access to a Bible, I want you to get it this morning. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. Talking about the tabernacle and what happened when they did things correctly. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. Now I want you to read this with an open heart and an open mind. It says, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter in the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon." Who was the cloud? God Himself. "And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all of their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all of their journeys." You know what that means to me? That God will go with us throughout all of our journeys, both good and both bad. Isn't it wonderful to know this morning that He's on your side? He's on my side. And if you're not saved, He can be on your side. Every single day, I think it would be good for each and every one of us to be reminded of how good God is. I've probably told you all to do this before. As we start a new year, I would like to encourage you to do it again. You don't have to tell me you've done it. If you don't do it, I'll never know. But it would be good for you to. You go home this afternoon, get you a pen and a piece of paper. Go sit down at your kitchen table and start writing all the good things God has done for you in your life. You start writing them down. And you just see how quickly you can fill up a piece of paper. It don't take very long. And if you turn that piece of paper over and you start writing all the bad things God has done for you, that piece, the front, the side on the front, that all the good things, that starts to overweigh all the bad things. And you say, that sounds kind of cliche. You just sit down and try and see if God doesn't give you a blessing from it. Things that God has done for you, write those things down and just see how much. It'd be good for all of us to be reminded just how good that God is. And you know, sometimes the things that we think are bad were not always meant to be bad things. They were meant to show us something. They were meant to teach us something. And they were meant to guide us from doing something the next time. That table of showbread to the world might look like ordinary slices of cake or bread that was laying there. But they were a reminder that God provided. Not only did God provide for the children of Israel physically, He provided a way for them spiritually. I didn't get to that this morning. That would take a lot more time. But this morning, that bread not only signifies the bread of provision that they had there, but do you remember what Jesus said in the New Testament? He said, "I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life." He's the bread. He's the provision that was made for all of us that we could be saved. I want to say this and I'm going to close. If you have nothing else to be thankful for and you've been saved, you should be the most thankful person that there ever has been or there ever will be. You've got something far greater than any rich person in this world could ever have. Even on our worst days, we should still thank God for how good that He is. There's a song that the Casting Crown sings, and some of you like that kind of music, some of you don't, and I understand that. But it says, "I will praise you in this storm. I will lift my hands because you are who you are and you will help me." So I will praise you in this storm, no matter where I am. Even if it's in the middle of the storm, it's good to praise the Lord. Feast of the Tabernacles, they were instructed to rejoice unto the Lord. I remember a few years ago, I was preaching at New Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church in Carthage, Tennessee. Sister Jean was saved there on the altar. She probably has probably one of the better relationships with that church as any of us. And sweet lady sat on the back row of the A Women Corner. And we were having just a shout and just testifying meeting breakout, and all of a sudden it just kind of broke for just a minute. And there was this lady that was sitting on the back row, and she was blind, she couldn't see. And all of a sudden she started singing, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me." And I have never in my life heard someone sing that song so beautiful. She was just, and the tears were just rolling out of all of our eyes. But she just began to sing, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me." There's a song that I used to sing a lot in the back of my mind, and it's usually, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Though the world may say I have nothing, if they could only see, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me." I'm going to close with this. It's kind of funny. When I was growing up at Pleasant Hill, we sang that song every Sunday. And I used to think, why in the world do these people like that song so much? The Lord saved my soul, and I began to grow. And I began to be reminded of those blessings. And that part in that song, it says, "Though the world may say I have nothing, how they are so wrong. If they could only see it." To the world today, it may seem like I have nothing, but if they only knew, if they only knew. Brothers and sisters, while we stand together, be reminded today of how good that God is. While we stand together,